All right, I have to issue a correction.
Oh.
I don't know what episode it was, okay. But we were
probably
talking
Grizzly
about
Man.
We were talking about Columbo, so it could be literally any episode.
Oh yeah.
I with my whole chest said that Diana Rigg played Mrs. Columbo.
Okay.
Totally wrong. It's Kate Mulgrew who's Red and Orange is the New Black and like everything else.
I love Kate Mulgrew.
I've made that mistake before. I don't know what the blockage is. But my fault, the people have spoken,
okay.
And here we are. So sorry, Kate Mulgrew, who played Mrs. Columbo, which it was an ill-fated show. It did not do very well.
Hi, Julian Pazzavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Are you watching Black Mirror?
No,
are
not
you
yet.
A Black Mirror person?
I haven't yet.
Like
I haven't
any
started
of the
yet.
Seasons?
Nope.
Oh, interesting. All right, well, another story for another time.
Okay, great.
Sam, are you watching Black Mirror? If so, tell us about it in the Facebook group. I'm obsessed. The first episode of this season has Rashida Jones. It's wild.
Okay.
Very good.
Great.
But we've got like 59,000 people in the Facebook group.
That's amazing.
It's wild. It's such a fun place. People are going in there just to make new friends and talk about the episodes and do all this stuff. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group.
That's right.
And join us over on Ye Yonder Patreon.
Yes. Patreon.com/TrueCrimeObsessed. We have a bunch of stuff over there for you. Ad-free episodes.
So that's where we cover our like series episode by episode. We are doing like Fox Hollow we're doing right now. We're doing
did Scamanda.
Scamanda, which is wild. It's what everybody wants to talk to me about when I see
everybody.
Them in person.
Oh my God.
And then what are we doing next?
We're doing the Karen Reed thing on ID, HBO, the five-parter.
Sam, I'm going to have so much to say about
it. Me too.
Like, I'm going to be levitating off my seat. I'm so angry.
It's a whole thing, I'll tell you that
much.
It's
we have five
whole
episodes
thing.
To work out our emotions about
it. I know.
What are we talking about today,
All
girl?
Right, so hi. This is one of our bonus episodes. This is our third bonus episode of the year. It's an episode of that show, New York Homicide, which we've covered many a time. This is episode 4. It's called Staten Island Secrets.
An 18-year-old murdered in her own home.
If you knew Lizzie, it's like, no one would want to harm this person.
Leading the NYPD into uncharted territory.
Staten Island homicides you just not heard of. It's just not like Brooklyn. It's not Manhattan.
And Willowbrook specifically is a very Orthodox Jewish community and a very tight-knit community.
We have to solve this. All the watching eyes, all the neighbors, and all the people saying, is my kid safe?
And as secrets become unearthed.
Everyone was calling each other. Did you see what they wrote about Lizzie in the newspaper?
The investigation takes a turn no one saw coming.
This was somebody who was hiding in plain sight.
Nobody wanted to believe that it was one of their own.
So we start off talking about New York City's diversity, which
we're
is like
a diverse city.
Like real hot take.
I know.
Like New York is diverse. But this time we're headed to what they call the oft forgotten borough of Staten Island. And I'm like, home of Wu-Tang Clan and a whole lot of mob guys.
Yeah. Staten Island is not forgotten by everybody in this booth.
No, I get Staten Island gets a bad rep, but like Wu-Tang Clan says they are nothing to fuck with. And it's also the mafia. So I don't know who's messing with Staten Island, but it's not me.
I just like on the mafia front, I watched a TikTok of an episode of The Sopranos today.
Oh yeah.
Where Aida Totoro
does not take place in Staten Island.
No, but she gets punched in the mouth by her husband and she takes matters into her own hands.
Oh, Richie Aprile, fuck him.
I'm not gonna
the
I won't give any spoilers.
Skill, Richie Aprile.
It was kind of amazing to watch what happened next.
Well, now you have to watch when Tony, she's like, Tony, what happened? Did you bury? He's like, yeah, we buried him with pine cones. What the fuck are you talking about? It's Richie Aprile, like burn in hell, Richie Aprile. We
oh
hate
my
Richie.
God. Well, it's August 10th, 2005. We hear a hysterical 911 call. Seema Parse has come home from work, expecting to have dinner with her daughter. Now, they call her Aliza and Eliza throughout.
Yeah, so her name is spelled A-L-I-Z-A.
Yes.
What's weird is that her boss and the cop who knew her family and worked the case call her Eliza.
Yes.
Everyone else calls her Aliza. A dear friend of hers will call her Lizzie. I'm going to go with Eliza because the two people who actually knew her called her that. Her boss, like, they had a very close relationship, so it seems,
that
knew
boss
her.
Is, I have a lot to say about the boss.
But I would think that she knew
I would
our
think so too.
Name.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and the friend calls her Lizzie, like you said, which is, I love that name.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Eliza.
Well, her mother knows that something is wrong.
And as she walked in, she saw that the house was ransacked.
Of course, as a mother, immediately you think the worst. She runs to her daughter's room. She's banging on the door. She's screaming out her name. The door's locked.
finds the door locked.
Yeah.
Her mother calls her job, where she gets the boss, Ayala, on the phone. Ayala is saying she's not here, and, like, we've been trying to get in touch with her all day.
Right. So Detective Teresa's here. She's NYPD, Brooklyn South.
Yes.
And also, the 911 operator is arguably giving attitude
oh
to
my
Seema.
God, she's so annoyed because she's like, whatever you do, don't go into the house, don't go to the house. And Seema's like, what are you talking about? It's my house, I'm interested. And the dispatcher goes, are you in the house now? And she goes, yes. She goes, well, get out.
Because
the,
like,
way that she says it is so annoying.
And I understand why.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is a safety issue, obviously. Right. We don't know who did this, we don't know if they're still there, but you could argue that the 911 operator is a little
maybe end of her shift.
Oh yeah,
it's one of those things where, like, wait, hey, of course she's inside, how
right.
else
but
would
get
she
out of the house.
I know.
That would probably be me.
Yeah.
Get out of the house.
Of all the jobs, like, I feel like you'd be a great dispatcher, but I could see a moment where you're like, yeah, get out.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be good at it.
You don't think?
I don't think it's
I think you'd have an ability to stay calm. I think you'd be good.
I think so. I hope so, but I don't think it's the job for me.
Okay, probably not.
I think it's a hard gig.
Like we say, I think you're right where you should be.
Yeah, I think it's a hard, I'm not like, I don't envy these people.
No, because the number one question they get all the time is, when are they getting here? When are they getting here? Like, and they don't know, they don't have the answer to that question.
And the thing is, I've asked my dad before, because my dad's a volunteer EMT and works like as a volunteer for the local fire department near where he lives. And so I've asked him, like, Dad, what's the tea on, like, how long the call, when the call comes in, when it gets to you, when you get paged, like, what is it? Because the same thing, everyone's always asking, are they on their way?
Yes.
And he's like, we're always on the way.
Of course.
Like, we get it immediately. And we are on the way while the person is figuring out the information.
Yes.
Like, we are on the way there, not knowing half the time immediately what it's going to be.
Right.
But, like, we're going.
Of course.
And
of
sometimes it's someone who, like, sliced their finger open on Christmas morning slicing bagels.
Oh.
Which happened, like, two Christmases ago. I was like, where's Dad? My mom's like, someone sliced their finger opening. Or sometimes it's, like, things that maybe one would want to talk to the local, like, trauma expert about.
Oh, of course.
So he never knows, like, what it's going to be. But
either way,
short,
Till is on his way.
People are on the way. The call, you're not getting bullshit. Basically, like, when someone says they're on the way, they are.
They are.
At least my dad is. To help you out.
Travel down the road and back again. Girl, Earn In is a new sponsor. Look, life doesn't happen bi-weekly, fam, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earn In.
Yeah, Earn In is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. Up to $150 per day with a max of $750 between paydays.
All you gotta do is just download the Earn In app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $150 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. And money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Back in my 20s and 30s when I was like super paycheck to paycheck, this would have come in very handy.
Yeah.
Fam, make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 4 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind.
Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. True Crime Obsessed under podcast.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Cash outs are based on your available earnings. Standard cash out takes 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Option to expedite your transfer for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service.
See the cash out user agreement for details. Service not available in all states. So the Staten Island cops get there. They bust in the door.
And what do they find is Aliza Parsi underneath a mattress, a pillow over her head, her feet sticking out from under the mattress, and she's been killed.
Pillow over her head.
Under the mattress.
Her feet are sticking out and she's dead.
And Eliza's in a towel and her hair is still wet from the shower. So this is now a murder investigation. Even though there's no, quote, obvious manner of death, something horrible happened to this
poor
girl.
And it's like, can you imagine anything more terrifying than coming out of this shower, being wet and cold and vulnerable and finding a person in your house?
It's the worst.
That is the scariest scenario I can imagine.
And then, like, having to fight for your life, which is exactly what Eliza did.
And, like, I mean, and not to, like, state the obvious, but, like, your feet are wet. You're slipping on the floor.
Yeah.
You don't have, like,
you're totally caught off guard.
Yes. And you're,
like,
even more vulnerable than you would have been if, like, the person had broken in the house in the middle of the night.
Right.
You know.
Totally. So Shaul is here. He's Lizzie's friend. And they're friends since they're 10 years old. They met on this, like, large group family retreat upstate, he describes.
They're Orthodox Jews. So I think that's a thing that's important to say here. And I think it's just, like, was an Orthodox Jew family retreat.
Retreat, yeah.
Yeah.
So they all stayed friends.
It sounds so wholesome, though. It sounds like so much fun.
And they all met at, like, 10 years old. And then they stayed friends even after high school. So it's, like, a real, like, Shaul describes a really big community, a really big group of friends. Everyone from the neighborhood knew each other. brother. They were always like, they were like family, he says.
For better or for worse, because we're going to find out how suffocating that can be to some of the kids growing up in a community like that.
Sure.
But they describe Lizzie like, just like she was like a sweet kid and always laughing and everybody wanted to be her friend. Like, just like the life of the party.
She's fun. She's funny.
Yeah.
She's a hard worker. After high school, Eliza gets a job for a local moving company. She did sales for them.
Yeah.
So she took a year off to raise money for college and her dream was to go to school in Manhattan to be a fashion designer.
But this is where we talk more to Alea, who's the boss, and she's like, she's so clear, I'm not friends with my employees.
No.
But Lizzie was different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also I want to say, Alea, the boss, when she found out that there was something wrong with Eliza, that like the mom was screaming on the phone, she went right to the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, get yourself a boss like Alea.
She's someone you call to get shit done.
100%.
There's a reason she's the boss.
I don't really talk to my employees, but Lizzie was different.
Right.
Yeah. I could see that you avoid her in the break room. You know what I mean?
Maybe if you're like, oh, I don't know.
If you were like 5 minutes late.
If she's like not in the mood for it. You could tell if she's in the mood for chatting. If she is, then like she's going to talk everyone's ear off.
Yep.
But if she's not in the mood, like no one's chatting.
And
that's fine. Like she
sets
has stuff
a tone,
to do.
For sure.
She has shit too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we learn it's Willowbrook in Staten Island and it's a very tight-knit community, as we learn, very Orthodox Jewish community. And then we learn about Raviv Gabay. He's 27 years old. He's Eliza's. They tell us he's her half-brother.
It's very important to Alea that we know that they're half-siblings. She says it 100 times in this episode.
Right.
She's like the half-brother. And she catches herself every time.
Right. Sometimes that matters to people. Sometimes it doesn't.
I know.
It matters to the boss.
It really matters
and
to
I believe
Alea.
Her. Like,
be precise, she says. Be on time
precise.
And be precise.
And then her half-brother showed up there. He tried to run into the house and scream my sister, and the police stopped him. He was hysterical, the brother, half-brother.
27-year-old Raviv Gabay, Eliza's half-brother, is yelling at detectives, demanding answers.
Yelling, screaming, demanding answers. Everyone wants to know what the hell happened to Eliza.
Yeah.
And
it sounds heartbreaking. It's like his little sister is dead inside there. Nobody knows what's happening.
And the other thing is like, wait, everyone knows each other. So who did this?
Right.
Like, it is a tight-knit community. So how did some outsider come in here and do this horrible thing?
And they're really describing that, like, the community is poured out onto the street. It's a little nosy neighbor-ish, but it's also they're rightfully terrified. Like, there's a fucking murderer on the loose.
Yes. So the crime scene, there's a small amount of blood on Eliza's towel.
Yeah.
And the cops are hoping that it's not hers because maybe it's, you know, grim, but maybe we can find the killer that way if it's not hers.
And they're saying she doesn't have any wounds. Like she wasn't stabbed, she wasn't shot, she's not bleeding. So there's a good chance that this blood does not belong to her.
And that it's defensive wounds.
Right. It's very good news.
So this process, it's 2005, as they remind us 1,000 times. So the process to test the blood is going to take several weeks.
And I'm like, why? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'll never know why. I'll never know. I don't know why we have a 20,000 backlog of sexual assault evidence. The answer is because no one cares.
I would love
to know why we can't speed things up a little bit.
Because it's not well, and truly, I'm not trying to get political, but it's only going to get worse. Like,
it's only getting worse.
It's like the mass layoffs of the scientists who do this shit.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, there are boxes upon boxes upon boxes of untested DNA, like all over the country.
And there's no shortage of people going to college for science degrees.
And there's no shortage of people getting hurt and needing help.
Exactly.
So we're fucked.
I know. Should we just move into this booth and stay here?
Like, welcome,
are we safe
everyone?
In here?
I don't know. At this point, like, there's no lock on that door.
There's no lock on the. Thank God. Sometimes I have nightmares about getting actually locked in the booth.
No, you don't.
I've had, like, nightmares about being like, I can't get out.
Oh, my God.
And, like, the oxygen is depleting.
That's not good.
I know.
What does that say? What's your subconscious telling you?
I don't know.
Do you feel trapped?
No. Like, that's the thing. I don't. But I do have that fear of, like, getting, like, locked in a small space.
This is the smallest space, you know.
I know.
This room. It's very tiny.
It is very tiny. But it's ours.
Yeah.
We did it.
So they're looking at the scene. The cops are scouring the house, taking photos, trying to find anything suspicious.
The back door was unlocked. And that was a big red flag.
We know a lot of burglars will just go from door to door and try the door. And if it's open, you know, that's good for them.
There are criminals that go door to door just looking for anything that's unlocked. You know, I think about that with the preppy killer. That was his name.
Oh, God.
Like, well, I think about, like, you feel, we live in apartment buildings. You feel kind of safe because it's like you got to get in the lobby and then you got to get up and then you got to.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, right? But like that was what the preppy killer did. He went from apartment to apartment, like looking for one that was unlocked.
Yeah,
I think about that.
No one
every
knows
night.
Their neighbors.
I know.
No one knows. Like,
it's true.
And you could just be like, hey, I'm just moving in. Hey, I'm just visiting. You could say anything to anybody and no neighbor's going to ask.
No. And so, like, but But like, that's what they're wondering, if that's what happened. Like, did somebody, like, did they just randomly leave their back door unlocked? And like, this hooligan found that Lizzie's door was unlocked, and that's why she's the unlucky victim.
Because the thing is, they have to talk to everyone and canvass the neighborhood, but the houses are very close to each other.
Yes.
And a lot of them are attached. And Shaul is saying, like, remember our tight-knit community, like, you can't check the mail without running into someone you know.
Yep.
Which is a lot.
And
now, you don't have to say hi to everyone all the time. Can you just let Shaul get the mail and go back?
If
to
you're
this
like
house?
Taking the dog out in the morning and you get in the elevator and there's somebody there, are you saying good morning?
Every time.
Of course. Well, of course you are. You're very polite.
Every time I get in the elevator, I acknowledge the person that's in the elevator.
Me too. I enjoy like the small acts of politeness.
Sure.
I like being like polite to people on the street.
Yeah.
But like,
but if it's like the same, it's this tight. I could see it being like, poor Shaul, you're just trying to get the mail.
And
man.
We're gonna learn like, more about how like the community is really suffocating to these younger kids.
Especially,
you know what I mean?
To the younger generation.
Yeah. And I also just wanted to say, I'm gonna PSA this one more time, please lock your doors. Please, even
enough.
If you think you don't need to lock your doors, I say this all the time. Do not be the cautionary tale. Do not be the reason why your neighbors start locking their doors.
Yeah.
Lock your door. Just lock it.
You know
it's
who's
so easy.
The biggest proponent of that?
Who?
Here he is again. My father.
Till, I
my
know.
My dad.
I know.
I'll have to say, we're taking the dogs out for a walk. Can you not lock the door? Can you 2 seconds we come in and it's like you're in a brick wall. I'm like, and then I'm like, knock it. Like, dad locked the fucking door again.
I know.
And I know it's good. I know he's right.
They escaped a serial killer by
minutes.
You know what I mean? Like, of course they're gonna lock the doors. Of course, I'm on Till's side.
That's the Son of Sam story. My parents like survived New York City in the 70s, so
by
we told
minutes.
It at an after party.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, "Wait, what?" Welcome, new listeners.
Yeah.
It's a real thing that happened. But yeah, he locks the door. He hears the door close. Is it locked? Like, he's just
Till's also a guy that can like stand his own ground. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm a home invader and Till's the guy whose house I broke into,
I'm gonna
turn and walk out.
He's got like accoutrement.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, my dad's never been a gun guy. He's not a gun owner.
I don't mean that.
But he has like. I just feel like he's got something on him that could get you in or out of something.
I often tell the story about how I was broken into twice while I was home and asleep. My friend Phil recently reminded me of how often I say that story. Those stories.
Oh, too much.
One time, I'm kind of lying. One time I had woken up and I was walking into the kitchen and a man was coming in ass first through the window.
Oh my God.
And he saw me and he turned and left. Like, it was very scary for me, but apparently more scary for the guy coming in ass first.
Yeah.
But like, that is really like everything should be, any way into your house should be locked.
Especially when you're sleeping.
Yes. That's, 100%.
Yeah. When you're walking the dog.
I almost was a cautionary tale.
Death.
Twice.
Like, I'm walking the dog.
I know.
It's 2 p.m. We're walking all the dogs, like, calm down. And we also like we're safe. We're walking these dogs who like are very sweet, but the barks are loud.
It's true.
Fiona has a fearsome bark.
I wanted to point, I thought of you because we get some cop speak here.
We get a lot
they
of
were
it.
Canvassing the neighborhood to quote ascertain who was in the area.
Right. So now, like, again, the houses are basically attached, some of them.
Yeah.
Tight knit community. The rumors start flying. Everyone's speculating wildly. A la
Joe Calamazzo.
You know, she's fighting with her mom. I didn't like the look of those landscapers.
My ex-husband
did it.
Think about that rumor you're starting.
Everyone's ex-husband did it.
Yeah. But she's fighting with her mom, so her mom clearly killed her.
Come on, shut up. So, but like, the house was a mess. So was it a burglary? And then someone took advantage of Eliza. Like, we don't know. Did they maybe think she wasn't home? And then
was
they were robbing
staged?
The house.
Neighbors mentioned that there was some landscapers next door to Eliza and Seema's home. She describes 4 or 5 males. Was this possibly a crime of opportunity? Maybe the door was open. One of them had to go to the bathroom and saw a naked girl, or maybe saw some jewelry.
4 or 5
men. I didn't like the look of those landscapers.
I know.
I never liked those landscapers, let me tell you.
Oh, that's how they talk on Staten Island.
Yeah, I didn't like the look of that. If you ever watch Mob Wives,
it's very wallpaper in the downstairs.
They talk about like, so I didn't invite Renee to my party.
Right.
So, and like, Dreed is always like, I was bugging. Ange, I was bugging.
You never cease to amaze me with the shows I find out that you watch.
Mob Wives, I had to.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. Like, Big Ange is like a legend. And so, like, we knew her, like, the Drunken Monkey. And it's like, I had to watch. Mob Wives definitely goes off the rails.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of like, so I didn't know if I was going to invite Renee to my party. And so she comes to my party.
I love it. Give me all the voices. I want you to do an entire episode
Drita's
of that
the
voice.
Best. I once did someone's voicemail as Drita back when I was bartending.
You
so
did?
I was doing Drita for whatever reason because she's hilarious.
Oh my God.
I know that violence isn't the answer. But yes, it is. And I did someone has my voicemail from 1,000 years ago.
Oh my God.
Did their voicemail as Drita.
I wish I could figure out how to do Jennifer Tilly because I want to say I'm not buying diamonds with Chucky money. You know what I mean?
I don't know that quote from Jennifer Tilly.
Oh, my God. Because she's doing, you know, she's like housewife adjacent now, apparently, or whatever.
Oh, she's a friend of, I'm not up to the recent season I'm about to start it.
And they're like at a pool, and she's talking about how, like, when they got divorced, they had $700,000 in the bank. And her husband was writing her a check for $350,000, and somebody was like, you need a divorce lawyer. And then she, like, got a piece of this. She's like,
well, her husband was on wrote The Simpsons.
He co-created it. And so she's saying, I got a piece of The Simpsons. They're like, did you get more money? And she's like, I got a piece of The Simpsons. And then she goes, I'm not buying diamonds with Chucky money.
Look,
Chucky money is my fun money.
That's spectacular. That's excellent.
I love that I just got to tell you a housewife thing.
I'm not there, but it'll be the next episode I watch, I bet.
Travel down the road, back again. Girl, Hydro is back. Look, it's the summer season. This is when some people like to exercise a little bit more. Hydro is this incredible full body workout of like a rowing machine. And they sent us one and I use it all the time. I used to run, but I love this full body workout because it hits like 86% of your muscles, arms, legs, core, all of it. And you can knock it out in like 20 minutes with super fast and efficient workouts that actually work.
Yeah, and you can just, maybe you're training hard for something. Maybe you're just trying to stay active.
Yep.
But Hydro really meets you where you're at. So it's low impact, it's easy on your joints, but it still gives you that perfect mix of strength and cardio.
I was running for so long, my back started to hurt. And I'm like, I'm gonna switch to Hydro. And like, you never have any of that lower back pain. It is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. And they have tons of workouts with actual Olympians.
These workouts are awesome. Like, I do the one on the Charles River in Boston all the time. And I'm like, I went to college there. This is the Charles, like, it's filmed on the Charles River. You never get bored. And if you're on the fence about this, fam, there's free shipping, a 30-day risk-free trial, and Hydro offers a full year warranty. So honestly, there's no pressure. Just try it and see if you like it.
Yeah. And let me tell you, like, a full workout in 20 minutes
while
you're working out everything, that, like, used to be unheard of.
And you can do it longer. Like, I've done, like, 45-minute rows. You can, like, set it by time, you can set it by distance. It's really, really awesome.
It's great.
So fam, skip the gym, not the workout. Stay on track with Hydro.
For a limited time, go to hydro.com and use code TCO to save up to $475 off your Hydro Pro Rower during Hydro's Memorial Day sale.
That's HYDROW.com, code TCO, to save up to $475, fam.
Yeah, hydro.com, code TCO.
Get to rowing. Just get to doing it.
Row your way over there.
Row, row, row your boat.
All the way over there to save $475. So let's learn about Eliza's family.
Yes.
Sima is her mother. Sima's from Israel, and she has two sons from her first marriage, Raviv, who we've already met, and Leo, and they're 10 years older. So Eliza is from Sima's second marriage.
Right.
Sima has a cookie business, like a thriving kosher cookie business.
Yeah, they like deliver. Like they deliver to like the neighborhood and
like
stuff.
Home delivery, right?
Yeah.
So Sima gave half of her thriving cookie business to her son, Raviv, as a wedding present.
Yes. I also want to point out that she's on like very good terms with her ex-husband.
Great.
I love that. I think that's cool.
So Raviv tells police, you should look at my sister's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
We didn't like him. He's Muslim. We're Orthodox Jews. The families were very unhappy.
Yes.
And we learn from Eliza's friend, Shaul, like, Eliza's family was going to disown her. Like, it was bad. Really bad. And Eliza's 18. Like, she doesn't want to deal with it. So Eliza is sort of forced to break up with this ex. She moved on. He apparently did not, is what the brother is saying, the half-brother that the boss wants us to know.
Very much a half-brother.
Now, in fact, we learn
Eliza was in bed sleeping, and she rolls over in the morning, and there's the ex-boyfriend sitting at the end of her bed, silent, just staring at her.
He clearly knows how to get into the house, maybe knows the locks, knows when people have left the house.
So clearly he knows how to get into the house. We got to go talk to him.
Right.
So just to be safe, before the cops leave the house, they get DNA and alibis from Eliza's mother and brother.
They are getting DNA from everybody. And maybe this is why, like, the DNA is backed up for centuries. Because, like, in the early days of DNA, they were swabbing every single person in the neighborhood to, like, make sure it wasn't them.
Well, because everyone's, like, we're close to everyone was in that house.
Uh-huh.
Everyone knows everybody. So they they're trying to rule people out.
Right. So to that end, they're trying to get the family's whereabouts for the day. So Sima, she'd been at the office. Raviv, the brother, the half-brother, was delivering cookies on Long Island. Even I said Long Island.
And you said on, not in.
I know.
Nice job.
I know. And the closed caption said in, and I was like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying on.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, thank you so much. Because I grew up on Cape Cod, not in Cape Cod.
So you know.
You know, yeah. If you grew up on any sort of landmass surrounded by water,
it's on.
It's a trauma that y'all suffer.
Yeah.
You know?
But guess what? The ex-boyfriend comes to the cops because the cops were going to track him down.
Yeah.
Thanks to the brother. So the ex-boyfriend shows up to the crime scene.
And they, quote, immediately take him down to the 122 for an interrogation.
The 122. 122.
The 122. I was like, they're really delivering today.
Yeah, they don't say 122. It's the 122.
It's the 122.
The 122.
I wrote it down because I was like, that is, I just, and
it's the 7-5. The 122.
It's the way the host says it.
It's not like the 75. It's the 7-5. The 122.
Or like the 75th precinct. You know what I mean? They're like the 122.
It's the 122.
It's the 122.
So Detective Kenny hauls the ex into the station. They want to lock him into a timeline, ask him a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
They start grilling him about the fact that he broke into Eliza's room and being a total creep. Like, what was that about? We know there was drama. Like,
yeah.
Give it to us, kid. Like, what the fuck? So his side of the story is a little different, as it always is.
I mean, he's saying that, like, Eliza, they're still into each other. They're pretending to be broken up. She's letting him in. Shaul, the friend, is like,
I heard stories of her sneaking out to go see him. Growing up in America, we looked past religion, but unfortunately, our parents didn't. So maybe he just snuck in so she wouldn't get in trouble.
This was a mutual. This guy's not a creep.
And Shaul's like, hey, hi, I got news for you. We were all sneaking out of the house.
Yes.
We were all teenagers. Yes. We had strict parents and a strict religion. We all had drama if we dated outside of the religion. We were teenagers being teenagers. The cop is like, this is typical teenager shit.
Yes.
Like, no one is really surprised to hear, like, in the context of where we are and this neighborhood and having Shaul here to say, like, we all experienced exactly what Eliza had gone through.
And, this doesn't mean that he didn't kill her, especially because, like, the thing we have to remember is that the killer put the mattress and a pillow over her face, which it indicates that it was personal. It was somebody that knew her, somebody that loved her and didn't want to have to like look at what they had done. And so, but this guy, the boyfriend, willingly gives his DNA and Detective Michael is like, I was not getting the he's our guy vibe. I just wasn't getting it.
And Detective Kenny's like, look, I don't want to get tunnel vision, which I was like, thrilled to hear.
Good for you.
Yeah, the bar's on the fucking floor.
I know.
But good job. He's like,
good job for doing the bare minimum, yeah. Officer Kenny.
What do they say in the office? Like, congratulations. Don't interrupt. Congratulations on doing your job. Like,
I know.
Bare minimum.
I know.
He gets DNA from everyone. He says he's not really interested in confirmation bias. He wants to look at everything. And he's like, if you get too locked in on one theory, you'll miss valuable information. I'm like, louder for the people in the back.
They track down all five of the landscapers from down
the
street.
I didn't like the look of those landscapers.
Didn't like them. But they all get fingerprints and more DNA. They get cleared. These guys are cleared. They didn't do it.
So Orthodox law says that the funeral needs to be held within 24 hours. So it's a rush for the autopsy.
I mean, that's a very fast turnaround. And I'm not trying to say that in a funny way.
Like, right.
Especially when there's an investigation that needs to happen here. Like, that seems too fast.
But
is there any wiggle room there?
No, there's not. And the cops are trying to find some silver lining here. And they're kind of happy because they're like, well, now we get to see everyone in one place and kind of get to know the family. And they want to one, like, get eyes on everyone. And two, sort of make themselves known in case anyone wants to help out in any way.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like, they're doing that thing where they're wondering if the killer is going to show up at the funeral. So they go to the funeral, and the ex-boyfriend, who, like, willingly went down to the police station, gave all of his DNA, he shows
up.
Loves
Eliza, still has feelings for her.
Yep. He shows up at the funeral, and the family loses their shit, because right now, the family knows the boyfriend to be the prime suspect.
According to them, he 100% did this.
Right.
How dare he show his face here?
The mom is screaming, the brother goes right up to him, the police have the boyfriend removed, even though they're like, he probably didn't do this.
Now, Raviv, the brother, is leading the charge against the ex. He tries to physically remove him. A fight breaks out. The police get involved. They have to haul the ex-boyfriend out of here because Raviv, the brother, is going to kill this guy. Half, sorry.
And half siblings, you know I'm joking. I'm just saying that because
the boss really wanted everyone to know.
She says it 80 times.
But Raviv is leading the charge against the ex-boyfriend, just for what it's worth.
Yes. So after the funeral, the police meet with the medical examiner. The cause of death is determined to be manual strangulation.
Being manually strangled, you kind of know that there was a struggle that went on.
Manual strangulation also tells you something else. It's typically a crime of passion, something unpremeditated. Something that takes place between two people close to each other. It's one more sign pointing to it being someone that Eliza knew.
The cops are like, this is absolutely someone
somebody that she knew. Yeah.
So, but there's more information. There's no sexual assault or trauma on her body. However, Eliza did have sex within 24 hours of her death.
And they also find skin under her fingernails, which is defensive. You know, like, it can be defensive. But yeah, she had sex within 24 hours. And they also determined that she was not sexually assaulted.
And like, the cops need to talk to her friends because Eliza is an 18-year-old girl. She has a super strict and religious family.
Yes.
The family knows what she wants them to know. We have to talk to our friends to get the real story.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. Especially in a community like this where some young kids feel like they can't be who they are to the adults in their life.
Right. Because the friends are like, Eliza was super social. The cops describe her as a fun-loving teenager. She was always going into Manhattan, dancing, clubbing. And Shaul's like, yes, can confirm. I was the one driving my mom's minivan when we were all 17 years old going to 21 and over clubs.
I know. Like, he was saying there were nightclubs where like his entire neighborhood, driven by him, would be in their own little section of the club.
And not talk to anyone else. So they'd go all the way into Manhattan, break all of the rules of their household to just talk to each other.
That sounds so awful. Like, I remember going to nightclubs when I was in college. There was one nightclub that we went to.
Nightclubs are the worst.
We went on gay night, so it was...
Unless it's gay night.
Right. Thursday and Saturday, Bostonians. Remember Man Ray on Thursday and Saturday? It was like the best gay club in the city. And that was really fun. I don't remember it being overbearingly loud, you know? But whenever I would go to like with my straight friends to their clubs, like on Lansdowne Street in Boston.
Like Unz clubs?
Like, yes, like Axis or whatever, like the Unz clubs. They were awful.
Not my
Just
scene.
A bunch of straight people standing around not talking to each other.
That's not my scene at all.
No.
No. That sucks.
Barf.
But it's like, that's what you do when you're like a teenager.
Totally.
And like, because your parents don't want you to go, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here's where it gets dangerous, though. So Eliza was going online to meet guys. And Shaul, again, explains.
In Staten Island, we all grew up with each other. So I couldn't look at Lizzie or one of her friends as being my girlfriend. They were more like my sisters.
And so it's quite natural for her to want to branch out and explore online.
She lived in this very insular community, and so she went online to meet people outside of that, like, secretly, because she kind of wasn't allowed to do it in plain sight.
And I just wanted to say that Detective Michael was like, when I learned that she was on the internet, I am no match for the internet.
This is 2005.
That's what I said.
It's not 1975. It's 2005.
He didn't even have an email address at the time. He had to get the entire IT department to teach him how to get on the online.
That's ridiculous. In 2005. Come on now.
I got my first email address in 1996, and I remember being like, I'm never going to need this. Like, why do I have this?
I'm never going to need this.
Do you know that when I worked on the Maddie in the Morning show in Boston at Kiss 108 FM, we tracked down the guy who invented email and we interviewed him.
Really?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
He worked at Harvard. Yeah. He didn't want to do an interview, but we talked him into it.
Edward Mail. Yeah. That's where it comes from, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Email.
His name was Edward Mail.
Edward Mail. That makes sense. EdwardMail@email.com.
Jody.
Eddie@email.com.
Did you see there was a melee at a Chuck E. Cheese? And it went on for like 12 minutes. And like in the background, you just see the Chuck E. Cheese logo was like Charles Entertainment Cheese
there
with the bow tie.
These
parents are all punching each other in the ball pit.
Just as he looks on, like, how dare you? He's giving your shitty kids a place to run around in their disgusting socks in that ball pit. It stinks to high heaven in there.
Edward Mail. That's
Edward
up
Mail.
There with Joe Mama. Like,
Joe
Mama. That's pretty good.
Ed Mail.
Travel down the road back again. Girl, Home Chef is back. Look, I don't know about you, but I need variety in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, and I'm sick and tired of trying to figure out what to eat for dinner every night.
Nobody
told me when I was a kid that, like, that's the biggest part of adulting.
It's the worst part of being a grown-up, but that's where Home Chef comes in. So if you don't know, fam, Home Chef delivers fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience, and does it ever.
Yes, and users of leading meal kits have rated Home Chef number one in quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipes.
And you know we've used a ton of these. This is definitely our favorite one. It saves you a ton of time and money. You always know there's something in the fridge for dinner. You don't have to run to the store at 4 p.m. like everybody always does. It takes one big stressor off your day.
Yeah, Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs. They also have like all different kinds of meals. So
yes.
If you love the classic meal kit with like pre-portioned ingredients, that's great. They have quick 30-minute recipes.
Yes.
They
yes.
have oven-ready options.
Yep.
They have microwave meals. Like, they have everything.
It's really good and it's super economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. And if you're like a city dweller like me know you order out way too much. This is like, you're gonna spend on a week of Home Chef what you would spend on one like ordering out for your
family. And you can plan your meals for the week a few weeks in advance.
Totally.
It's so helpful.
It's so helpful.
I love it.
So fam, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box, plus free dessert for life.
That's the best.
Go to homechef.com/TCO.
That's homechef.com/TCO for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life.
Homechef.com/TCO.
Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
And you want
to
be.
Don't try to scam the dessert.
I'm telling you, it comes, you take it out, you eat it while you're putting the food away. The dessert is really, really good.
It's so good.
It was a peach cobbler once. It was so good.
Oh, wow.
My God. Girl, Miracle Made is back. These are these self-cooling sheets that are so amazing. It makes it feel like you're sleeping in a freshly air-conditioned hotel room all the time.
Yeah, you know I'm kind of a stickler for sleep temperature.
Yes, same.
And Miracle Made sheets are inspired by NASA, everyone. Inspired by NASA, they use silver-infused fabrics that are temperature-regulating so you can sleep at the perfect temp all night long and not be cranky in the morning because you're tossing and turning.
No, and they're self-cleaning. That silver you're talking about, it prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving your sheets to stay cleaner and fresher longer than anything. There's nothing better than like fresh smelling sheets.
Oh my God.
And no. You get it forever with Miracle Made.
Yeah, and they like no more gross odors. And also these sheets are designed for your skin. So stop sleeping
yes.
on bacteria.
I know. Stop
bacteria
it.
Can clog your pores,
yes.
causes breakouts and acne. It's disgusting. So sleep clean with Miracle.
And they're so freaking comfortable. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands and feel as nice or nicer than sheets used by some 5-star hotels.
I mean, I love a hotel bed. I love being undercovers, but also being cool
yes.
when I'm sleeping.
100%.
Thank you.
So fam, upgrade your sleep as the weather heats up. Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Made sheets today.
And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%.
And if you use our promo code TCO at checkout, you'll get a free 3-piece towel set and save an extra 20%. I do not know how this company makes money.
That was 40% and now an extra 20%.
and a free 3-piece towel set.
Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund.
Yeah, upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/TCO and use code TCO to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off.
Again, that's trymiracle.com/TCO to treat yourself.
Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Because I slept well and I'm going to be sleeping well again tonight. So the NYPD's computer crime unit is on the case. They have no idea what the hell's going
their
on.
Their IT department, who was able to get onto the online.
Yeah. So they're going through Eliza's computer. They're looking through her emails, her IMs, like trying to find out anything.
Yes.
Because there's like, now there's like strangers involved. And so now they have to go outside of this community, which is like a good lead, but also it leads to the rest of the world, basically.
Yeah.
Like she's talking to people online.
Truly. And every time they find a new lead on her computer, they have to spend all their time and resources like tracking it down.
Because like they were finding everyone she was chatting with and then meeting in person and then
yeah.
looking into them. Like, are they sex offenders? Are they creeps? Are they much older than her? Like, who is she meeting online?
Well, on August 24th, 2005, 2 weeks after the murder, the cops find this one person. He and Eliza were supposed to meet the day before she died at 10 a.m. So he looks like a really good suspect.
He had actually chatted with her about coming to the house at the right time when her mom wouldn't be there, would have presumably left for work. And she would leave the door unlocked so he wouldn't cause any sort of, you know, ruckus. And you remember, the door was unlocked when the mom had come home from work.
She was going to leave the door unlocked so he wouldn't, like, cause a scene getting in.
And remember, the biggest red flags the cops had was that the door was unlocked.
And so now this guy becomes, like, suspect number one.
So they track this guy down in Brooklyn. He's super cooperative. He gives
yeah.
his DNA sample over, no problem. And he says, look, Eliza and I did have a sexual relationship. I was at the house the day she was murdered. We had consensual sex.
Yep.
And remember, this is what the medical examiner said, that
yes.
she did have sex, but it was not an assault.
And this is where it gets so New York-y. I'm like, does this make sense to anybody else? Because they get a warrant for his Easy Pass, his Metro cards, and his phone records.
Right.
I was like, does Easy Pass exist everywhere, or is that just here?
I think the tri-state area, no?
Yeah. Because I'm like, if anybody watching in San Francisco, do they know what a Metro card or an Easy Pass is?
Yeah, I don't know what they have for the BART in California.
Totally.
That's the BART, right?
But yeah.
They used to have like paper tickets for the bus in San Francisco.
Truly.
That. Like, not that long ago, they had paper tickets.
No, there was also a rapid transit system in a town called Fayetteville. It was the Fayetteville area rapid transit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the fart?
The fart.
Come on, guys.
That's true.
Come on.
I'm not making it up. The fart.
So this guy, I don't know how old he is. I don't know anything about this guy, but he's now a person of interest.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he's admitting he was in the house and had sex with Eliza, our victim,
yes.
that day. So, yeah, they're tracking his movements. And then the stupid fucking New York Post does
yeah.
what they always do, and they start attacking Lizzie's character.
And slut-shaming her.
It came out in the paper that she had this promiscuous lifestyle.
The media kind of painted her as a bad girl.
We were kind of surprised all of a sudden that this came to light in the newspaper.
And the Post takes it and turns it into like some slut-shaming horrible story.
I found the article.
You did?
It's fucking disgusting. It's gross, but it's all about like the sexual encounters and all about whatever. But they also—
God, I hope no gay man ever gets murdered because, like, you know what I mean? I was really thinking about this. I was like, we really only do this to women. You know what I mean? It's just taken for granted that men of any sexual orientation, if they were to find this on their computer, like it would be to be expected, you know?
But was also, what's really interesting that they didn't mention this in the episode, but in the article I found, which is horrifying, by the way, and I'm not going to give it any more air, but apparently Eliza, she was involved in an encounter that prompted her to file a rape complaint.
Oh, shit.
In Brooklyn, because she had told, allegedly, like according to their police sources, that she said that she did have sexual consent with a man that she met at a club in Manhattan, but when she woke up, there were other men there, and she filed a police report and then didn't want to pursue the case for the millions of reasons why we don't want to. And especially she would like get in trouble.
Exactly.
From her community. I would think, I'm just saying, I'm not assigning things. I'm just saying like she was probably too scared to say she was in Manhattan.
Yeah, of course.
Like at the very least. So there were no charges brought, but it's just like, I just wanted to say to everyone or like anyone with kids or a loved one who's young, like please be careful with who you meet online.
Yes.
Like please be so careful. Yes. I know that like it feels more accessible now because like TikTok and you feel like you know people, but like you never know someone who you're meeting for the first time that you started a relationship with online.
Yes.
Like I know that really beautiful friendships and relationships can be created online, but like this, when I read the article and I saw that she had filed a complaint, it hit me again, like how dangerous it could be.
Yes.
As like a young, pretty teenage girl to be like meeting people far, like in a different borough.
It's scary.
And
I'm not trying to assign anything either, but she was pushed to do that because she didn't have access to meeting people outside of her community in her life. That was the only way she could do it.
And when I was reading it, it's like, wow, New York Post, what a shitty way to highlight like how new and dangerous online dating is.
Yes.
At the time, like, I don't like your fucking tone.
Yeah.
And I don't like what you're implying, but this could have been part of a study of like, wow,
yeah,
be careful, everybody.
Yeah.
But of course, the New York Post had to do what they do.
Yes.
But the point is like, how dare you? And Shaul is like, first of all, the internet is a cesspool and women are dealing with creeps on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Even in 2005 when it, quote, just started, according to the cops.
Of course.
And you had an email address in 1996. Like, please. But like, most importantly, she was just murdered. Like, how dare you put this garbage out there about this person and his friend?
Right.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah. I'm sorry that you had to put yourself through the reading of the Post article.
I am too.
You know, it's horrible.
It sucks.
So the community is getting impatient that the investigation is taking so long. I mean, the investigations take as long as they take, but I also understand, like, there's a murderer on the loose.
There's a murderer on the loose. And could it be someone in their community?
Right.
That it's very scary. So it's September 13th, 2005. Finally, there's a major break in the case. The DNA is finally back and the cops are stunned.
Yeah, because it's the DNA that was found on the towel. Now, remember, Eliza didn't have any blood on it. She was not killed in a bloody way.
Right.
So the thought was that this DNA would belong to the killer.
And they tell me that the match is a close relative to Eliza. They knew that the DNA was that of a male. So probably a brother or a father.
Either her brother or her father.
Right.
And we know that her father and her other older brother are back in Israel, which only leaves Raviv.
And the DNA is not just from the blood, but under Eliza's fingernails.
Yes.
So the only person it could be is Raviv. Raviv, who was a wreck at the crime scene.
Yes.
Raviv, who told the cops to look at the ex-boyfriend. Raviv, who physically fought the ex-boyfriend at the funeral.
Exactly.
That Raviv.
That Raviv. The one who had the alibi saying he was on Long Island delivering cookies.
Yeah. He is a DNA match. Just to really, like, be clear, Raviv is a DNA match to both the blood on the towel and the DNA under Eliza's fingernails.
Yes.
So now we have to track Raviv's movements.
He's get his cell phone and his Easy Pass information.
And the cameras from the bridges and highways.
Yes.
Now, Raviv's story to the cops, you fucking idiot, stay stupid, everybody,
I know,
is that at 1 p.m. he was out delivering cookies on Long Island. Wrong. They have him coming into Staten Island at 1 p.m. They
yes.
have the toll information.
Exactly.
So he's lying. The cops want to talk to him now.
Yeah, 1:30, they have him within a block of Eliza's house.
Now, the cops are like, we need to talk to him right now. They call him up. He doesn't feel like going to help
his
sister's murder investigation. He's too busy. There's a party he really wants to get to.
Yeah, well, because they haven't told him why they want to talk to him. And I think if you're Raviv and you get that call, you're terrified. Because it's like, anytime the cops are calling you without saying, we got the killer, you're watching your back.
Well, then they're like, we need your help with your sister's murder investigation. He's like, I'm too busy. And then they trick him by saying, it's about that ex-boyfriend you hate. And he's like, oh, in that case,
I'll be right there.
So he heads to the station. He brings his wife. They put the wife in the other room.
Yes.
And they talk to Raviv alone. And because they're, the cops are like, we cannot, why would he do this?
In a million years, what would his motive be?
So Raviv is like immediately belligerent.
Yes.
They lay out all the evidence, the DNA matches, the blood, you know, skin under the nails, the proof that he was not delivering cookies.
It's still so early in the in DNA that he thinks he can still talk his way out of it.
Right.
That like, it doesn't matter that he's a direct DNA match for the blood on the towel and the skin under her fingernails.
And he's still belligerent. He's denying it.
Yeah.
And they trick him again. And they trick him into telling the truth. They use that shitty article from the Post, and they say, look, everyone is saying she was sexually assaulted, so unless you want the whole town, including your mother, to think that you raped your sister, you should tell us what happened.
And like, that honestly does the trick. It works.
So here's what Raviv tells police, this piece of shit, entitled piece of shit.
It's unbelievable that he doesn't even try to make himself look good in the story.
This is the story he tells.
Yeah.
He just got married. He says, I'm living with my in-laws in their basement. Apparently the house is enormous.
Yes.
He's under a lot of pressure to make a lot of money, and that shouldn't be a problem though, because I'm like, your mother handed him 50% of your thriving cookie business.
Yes.
Which, by the way, as soon as he got involved, fell apart.
Right.
So as Raviv tells it,
the business wasn't really worth like what he would feel would be an appropriate wedding gift. So he felt that his mother still owed him a wedding gift.
He felt that his mother still owed him a wedding gift.
Like, that.
Who is this piece of shit?
Unbelievable.
And he wants his mother to give him some of the money she got from her divorce.
Right.
Because she sold a house in Israel and she got a nice chunk of change.
Right.
And because he is driving the cookie business into the ground, he wants more of the money that is hers.
And not only that.
She gave you half of her thriving business.
I know.
And it's not enough.
No, I know. And
for a wedding gift?
He's going to go
into a toaster or some Kettle sticks. Half the cookie business?
I know. And it's also just like, imagine him living in his like wife's family's house and they're all coming down on him for not making enough money.
This entitled piece of shit.
I know.
He's living in someone else's house demanding his mother's money. Who does he think he is?
And then he goes to get it. So what happens is on the day of the murder, he's driving to Long Island to deliver the cookies. He decides to make a detour to his mother's house. He thinks his sister and his mom will both be at work. So he's going to rummage through his mother's shit looking for the check.
That's why the house was a mess.
Yes.
He's looking for the money.
I mean, which is just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. So Eliza's in the shower.
He doesn't know that. He doesn't know she's home.
She gets out of the shower and they're both shocked. Neither of them can believe it. Now, Raviv says to the cops, Eliza, this is all bullshit, by the way.
Yeah.
But Eliza sees him and immediately jumps on his back and scratches him, which even in this story, to me, says there was a lot of animosity there for a long time.
There must have been.
So in self-defense, he throws her off him and that's when she falls and hits her head on the box spring and passes out.
And dies.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So Raviv can't believe what he's done.
Those stories never work, by the way.
And we know, we'll get into the facts in a minute. But Raviv then says to the cops,
and he's so shocked by what he's done. He can't believe that he's just killed his sister, that he covers her body. And he continues on to his delivery route.
Keeps on delivering the cookies.
Yes.
Now, this is bullshit because the autopsy says that he suffocated her.
Right. And it was manual strangulation.
So, like, stop.
Right.
So the cops have everything they want, all this evidence, DNA evidence, the easy pass,
and
whatever.
He admits that he killed. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, it doesn't even matter what the
real story
is. I mean, of course it matters to us what the real story is, but they got him.
They got him.
Travel. Girl, Pretty Litter is back. Macaroni check.
Macaroni is super healthy, and we know that because of Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter is that kitty litter that has the health indicator. So if your cat uses the box and it changes color, you know you got to take your kitty to see the vet because they can't tell you that they don't feel good.
I like checking on Macaroni, which is my best friend Ashley's cat, but she knows that if Pretty Litter changes color and something's wrong with Macaroni, I need to be the first one notified so I can stress out about it.
You are officially the emergency contact.
Yes.
Also, Pretty Litter ships right to your door for free. It's non-toxic, pet safe, and household friendly.
Plus, it's low dust, controls odors, and lasts for up to a month. I'm gonna hold your hand when I say this.
I know.
Cat people, your house stinks if you have regular kitty litter.
It's true. I was gonna say, I don't wanna skip over the controls odors parts of this because it really makes a big freaking difference.
Like your house is dusty with kitty litter all over the place.
Ugh.
And it smells and you get nose blind to it and it's not your fault. But Pretty Litter takes care of all that.
Yeah. So fam, right now you can save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy at prettylitter.com/TC.
I mean the cat toy.
It's the best thing ever.
Icing on the cake.
I know.
That's prettylitter.com/TCO to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy.
Prettylitter.com/TCO.
Pretty Litter cannot detect every feline health issue or prevent or diagnose diseases.
A diagnosis can only come from a licensed veterinarian.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. So Seema, the mother, of course, is devastated. She just lost her daughter and her son and realized that her son is a monstrous murderer.
Shaul puts it so well. He says she was so embarrassed and heartbroken and ashamed. You know, like,
of course.
The idea that he... And for what? Like, what really happened there?
Yeah.
You
get
know what I mean?
Get a job, you asshole.
I know.
Or, oh, wait, your mother gifted you half of her business and you couldn't even do that.
I'm so... I'm tormented by not knowing why he actually did it.
I think maybe there was more conversation. Maybe he thought Eliza was going to get the money, or maybe or maybe his mother said, I gave you half of my business. Whatever I have, I can do with what I want.
Right.
So maybe Eliza was in the... I don't know what happened, or they fucking hated each other because this guy sounds like a dick.
It doesn't seem premeditated. Like, something happened in that moment that made him want to kill her.
Well, Shaul makes a good point because he pleads guilty and to first degree manslaughter and gets 18 years. And this is when Shaul says, wait a second.
I hope he never gets out. If he can do that to Lizzie... what can you do to somebody else? He killed his own sister with his bare hands and stuffed her underneath a mattress. That's... I don't even have words for that.
What else is he capable of?
Exactly.
18 years, according to Shaul, is nothing, because this guy's a danger to society.
I looked him up. Like, 18 years, he should be out now, and he's not.
Well, according to New York State inmate lookup, he was released to immigration in October of 2020.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So he was sent back to Israel.
He was all it says in his thing, in his like file, it's New York State inmate lookup. He was released to immigration in late October of 2020.
Oh my God.
Because there was a lot of stuff going on with incarcerated COVID. People yes. in 2020.
Yes.
So
they were releasing a lot of people
and
early.
And moving people around. And so that's what happened. He was released to immigration, but I don't know what immigration did.
Oh my God, girl, we did. What's it called?
So this is an episode of New York Homicide. It's episode 4. It's called Staten Island Secrets.
Yeah, such a good series. Oh my God.
Yeah, so we have plenty of bonus episodes. This is always on the roster. Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll throw in a bonus episode of this one.
Fam, join us in our Facebook group. It's the True Crime Obsessed podcast discussion group. Go in there to make new friends, to like see what's going on with us, and just like to hang out and have a fun place to go.
Yeah.
Join us on the Patreon. Over 450 full ad-free bonus episodes to download the second you get it.
Yeah, this timeline is very weird. I never know where we are because we're like very ahead on the regular feed and a little but we're about to start recording our Fox Hollow Murders episode 1 in like 2 minutes from now,
and then after that we're doing
Karen Reed.
I mean, it's wild. And we just did Scamanda and Gabby Petito. I mean,
it's a lot.
so much is amazing.
The Patreon is stacked for months to come. I'll say that,
not to mention the monthly drag bingo at the $5 level
and the monthly surprise. We did that Lori Vallow jailhouse interview.
Oh, fam, we love you. Thanks for hanging out with us for an hour.
Happy bonus surprise episode. We'll see
you
soon.
Happy bonus day. We love you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.